big thank you to Marie Coote for coming back
Hello.
To the fold.
Thank you for having me, Brendan. That was a very professional segue. Bang, bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang. Yes, the tripod at work.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
I think David was probably going to thank you, and a big thank you as well for your beautiful work that we're going to be having at our art auction.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I read your mind.
No, continue on.
Well, I was going to say, big thank you for that as well. But it's probably a side, potentially, that people don't quite, know about you, that you are this sort of wonderful artist alongside your literary genius as well.
Thank you.
But I guess it all comes together. So, but, how do you feel sort of showing off your work to, our audience?
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled to be involved and thrilled to give them one of the prints from the Melbourne series. It's lovely.
Now that's the wonderful thing, is it's actually, we'll get to what it is, because that's the wonderful, also the wonderful part about it. But a lot of your books, the illustrations are so good and so strong that you then do limited edition prints of the actual artwork in the book. Is that
right?
That's
right. That's right. Yes. If the page, warrants it, will stand up by itself as an image, then I'll do some prints of it, a limited edition series. And this particular series is much loved and been going really well. And the artwork that I've donated is a print of, it's called Pellegrini's. It doesn't say that on the actual building, because I didn't want to, be that literal, but you can tell that it's Pellegrini's.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's so iconic, isn't it, the building,
absolutely.
Even though it's not a fancy building.
Yes.
Because they haven't touched inside, they haven't touched outside.
Well, that's what I love
purpose.
About Pellegrini's, is that, every time you touch that door, David, I want you to remember how many other people have touched that
door
since 1957 or whatever it is.
I've never thought of a door.
Because our beautiful greasy hands have all touched the same wood, our bums have all sat on those same vinyl stools. And what I like about it, the menu board and the kind of, the
jaded,
faded...
the arrogance of them behind,
charming.
They're gorgeous, I love them.
But tell people what Pellegrini's is, if somebody's listening and they're going, what are they talking about?
Okay, well, Pellegrini's is a cafe and bistro, if you like, serving, pasta and coffee. There's no alcohol. It's a go in, go out. It was designed, actually, where it is. It's designed to handle the theatre guests, the theatre goers, so that they could go in and have a meal and be out quickly before the theatre, or come there, performers as well, after the theatre. So it's up where the theatres are, obviously, top of Bourke Street. And so they don't do booze. They do food and coffee. Pasta and coffee.
And turnover.
And they do a watermelon granita that's to die for.
Oh, right.
And they're really yum. But, you turn over. So I think that's actually been the part of the magic of the recipe, because people don't sit around forever over a glass of wine. And it's a long venue.
And you're sitting
venue,
on uncomfortable
a long, narrow,
stools.
Yeah, you are. Can't sit on one of those stools forever. So it's a long, narrow... It's like being in a train carriage, really.
Yeah, it is.
And people coming in and going, coming and going, coming and going.
Almost that American diner
style,
isn't it?
It is, very much.
Isn't it?
But you don't get the comfort of the booth.
No, there's no booths.
You're in and you're out, and at the turnover and the bustle and the liveliness of the place.
Yep.
It's just fantastic.
And that's what makes it so special. Yes, the pasta's good. The pasta sauce is
yummy.
Is great.
Really yummy.
As I said, the arrogance, because
I wouldn't say, I'm going to stop you saying arrogance. I think it's a matter of factness. It's a business-like approach, right? We aren't there to love you. Yep. We're there to feed you, water you, and get you out.
although sometimes, there was a period there where I was going once every couple of weeks, and they started to recognise, and all of a sudden they take on a different persona when
they know you.
If they know you,
they adore you. They're lovely. They're so warm and generous hearted and everything. It's lovely.
So,
imagine how many people go through.
Oh my God. And a bit of a tourist haunt as well. What book is it from? You did mention
the artwork is from a book called When You Go to Melbourne, which is a children's picture book.
Which
has wacky, scratchy illustrations throughout. That are of my memories of when I used to go to the city with Mum when I was a kid. So it's, you know, when you go to Melbourne, see if you can see all the things that I saw when Mum took me.
How many seagulls are in one shot?
Well, there's
how
hidden puzzles in it about how many bridges and how many seagulls and how many this and how many the other, and, you know, where you find certain icons and emblems and so on. So you can actually, and people do, use the book as a tour guide around town with kids and explore the city and look at the sculptures and statuary and find all the icons and visit the main places.
With that piece, did you know at the time when you were, coming up with the concept, that idea of Pellegrini's, did you realise it was going to be a little bit of an iconic piece for you as an art piece?
That piece? Well, probably because Pelly's has certainly been an icon for that long. And the pieces that I... the landmarks that I put into the book really have meaning for me, because, as I say, when Mum used to bring me in, we'd go to the Louvre and look in the window, or we'd go to Pelly's and have a bowl of pasta, or to the Hopetoun Tea Rooms for a rum cake, which you can't go to anymore because it's just tourist lines forever around the block. But anyway,
An interesting story there in the news this week. Did you hear that?
No.
Another story for another time.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm intrigued.
Oh, like, exactly. Now you've got us interested, David.
Yeah.
No, because it's got nothing to do with us, so we can't continue on there.
Okay.
Brendan, you had a question.
But it sort of leads into what I was looking into your Melbourne book yesterday, and sort of talking about Melbourne's, you know, in terms of white settlement, a young history, but, you know, such an identity that we have now, and we're finally starting to reconcile the past as well, our very ancient past. But talk about that kind of, that mythology that's happened in Melbourne,
like,
in such a short amount of
time. You just alluded to it, such a young city, 179 years or something, that's it, since settlement. And if that's a blip, that's nothing. You compare that to Indigenous history here from 60 to 100,000 years, or even all the great cities of the world like Paris, Rome, London, everywhere. Well, not Rome so much, it's a bit of a younger city. But, I mean, we're nothing, we're just a blip on the horizon. So I remember that a Chinese author came out here named Yu Yang Yu. He wrote the Eastern Slope Chronicles, and he said he came to Australia to escape history, because it was just this burden of history bearing down on him in China.
Yep.
And he wanted to come here where there was nothing. And he said, I heard that quote on Philip Adams' show on the ABC Radio National or something one night, just as I was writing, I think, the first edition of the Melbourne book, and went, oh, we've got no history. Oh, my God, I'm trying to scrape together, 179 years of, you know, meaningful. I mean, I found lots of stories that we really all should know and celebrate.
Yes.
And I adore everything that I uncover every time I do more research. I uncover more. And it's a real privilege. I think the most amazing thing about Melbourne is that you can turn around and touch yesterday. It's still here.
Yeah.
It is still right there.
Yep.
But not in as much as it's an old dead building in Europe, in as much as that's the one that was like just 150 years ago or 100 years ago, you know, for some of them. It's still in its first incarnation, still in its first sort of span.
And then, of course, you know, like after the Second World War, you know, like the 60s and 70s, you know, like this this city was peaking then in a lot of ways. And you know, like, and so much television was filmed here. And of course, around in Russell Street, you know, the police station where Division 4, was it?
Was Division 4? Homicide or Division 4? Division 4, you're right.
You know, like, was filmed there. And the outside of that building, which is now... it's not a police station anymore.
Every time you see the outside of that building, you think of that really kind of crappy soundtrack.
And the guys getting out of the detectives getting out of the car, out the front.
The Ford or the Honda.
Yeah, and there was also a bombing there too, wasn't there?
Was, there yes.
Which made it you know, like, famous too. But now it's a and they've retained it exactly the same way, which is lovely. And it's an apartment building. And you know, there's that history, isn't there? And looking out this window, the windows here at Joy, you know, like some of the beautiful old buildings that we've
retained
here.
Feel,
so people, if ever you want to see, look down on Melbourne, come up to Joy and we'd gladly show you out the window.
The window.
And we won't push you out either.
I love going on the roofs of buildings in Melbourne. I'm often knocking on doors, lifts, reception, etc., and saying, can I please go to your roof? It used to be a lot easier before 9/11 than it is now. And, you know, if you ask nicely, you can still manage to get there.
An open house can be quite good for that as well.
I don't think there's anywhere but Melbourne that you could walk into a building that's unattended, as I did only a year and a half ago, go in, go up, Nobody stopped me. I just went out on the roof. Nobody stopped me.
Really?
At any, and this was on Collins Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't think that happens many places around the world.
No, quite an accessible city in some ways.
It is. Now, you've had this last year, you've had extraordinary success with some of your books.
Thank you. Yes, very lucky too.
Which ones?
The Spellbound, which is a children's art and design and graphic design typography puzzle book, if you like. That one in Italy, the special mention at the Bologna Ragazzi Children's Book Fair.
Excellent.
First time we've won anything, any Australians won anything over there since Sean Tan won 10 years ago.
Wow.
Same prize. So I'm thrilled to bits. And that's been very good and propelled me on a bit. And now I have other offers and subsequent books coming off that for New York and places like that, which is really
So you're really forging a career on an international stage now?
I'm just kind of like surfing it, David. You know, like I wanted to write Melbourne's history, which I do for adults, and then I do some kids, what I wouldn't really call it history, although there's a bit of history in some of the children's books, but it's more cultural, just including them into their own place, giving them a sense of belonging through the kids' books. And then with the photographic alphabet that I did for children, then I did the typographic version of that, which has led me to this new device, which is called, I call it Letter Art Fontograms, which is now what's being taken up by Italy and by New York and so on. So that's great. I'm just following that. I'm just surfing it. I do have some other adult histories on the desk at the moment.
Yep.
I haven't finished it yet.
And another couple of kids' books where they go within the art gallery. What are they? There was one,
Andy Webb artist, yes. Yeah. Andy Webb is a spider who lives in the art gallery, who dreams of being a famous artist. And so he, but he's, you know, his dad wants him to be a web developer, but...
I love that.
Yeah. His mother always knows he's been a creative child. So he's encouraged. So he goes off around the gallery and learns from all the masters, you know, Hokusai, Van Gogh, Miro, everybody, Picasso, Frida Kahlo. And he studies all the work and he redraws it in spider web to learn how to do it. But he's always searching for his own style, aren't we all, David? And he dreams of being able to work in colour, and he's only got white web. And spoiler alert, I can't tell you the end. You'll have to read it for yourself.
And there's a follow-up?
So that's a history of art for kids with a little story as well about not giving up and achieving your goal. And the architecture partner to that is called Robin Boyd Architect. And Robin is little Tweety Boyd, who she lives on the ledge at the National University and listens to the architecture class through the window every day and dreams of being an architect. And then off she goes and builds nests in many and various designs, you know. With twigs, of course. So, skyscrapers and opera houses and all sorts of things to try to find her style.
Brilliant.
So they're good fun.
Brilliant. So thank you again for your piece. Now, people can find out more about you. What's your website?
It's melbournestyle.com.au.
Uh-huh. And you do more than just your books and your artwork. There's a whole world of... because you have a store.
We do.
Because there's an art gallery upstairs, but there's a store on the ground floor where it's all... everything to do about Melbourne, because it's called Melbourne Style. But it's not your daggy souvenir stuff. It's beautiful pieces, isn't it, of art.
Yes.
But it's centred around this wonderful city of
ours. That's right. We're trying to celebrate Melbourne-ness in lots of different forms. So cups and saucers and scarves and coasters and all sorts of things as well.
And lots of trams.
Lots of trams.
And do you still have the Pellegrini scarf at the moment?
No, not at the moment, because they're limited edition. So when they're sold out, they're sold out. And I have to do some more. So I'm doing more, but, you know, I've only got two hands. So I'll get there.
Watch this space.
I will get there. You'll be the first tonight.
Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
For the future, because it's going to be so bright for you.
Thank you. Thank you, fellas.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Marie Cute. You are on Sunday Arts Magazine. It's Joy 94.9.